Okay. So nice to see everyone. I'm just going to mute everyone again and feel free to unmute yourselves. Feel free to unmute yourself if you have any questions, anything like that. So tonight's shiur should be b'schus, a continued refuah shleima for my friend Shlomo ben Shina Zelda, b'soch shar chol Yisrael. It's so nice to be back learning with everyone. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus. I guess since before Pesach, I guess, really was the last time we learned together. So it's been busy with the Kola and with Neely, a lot of programming, things going on. But Baruch Hashem, we'll have a shiur this week with regards to understanding the background of Zmanim for Shabbos, specifically the Machlokas between the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam, as to understanding when nighttime begins, when is the beginning of Halachic nighttime. We'll get into a little bit more in terms of the nitty-gritty and making early Shabbos and Tosefa Shabbos, adding to Shabbos, but that's for this week. Next week, Mirtz Hashem Bli Neder, we'll discuss the halachos of, let's say, one makes early Shabbos. Does someone and their spouse have to be Mekabel Shabbos at the same exact time? That'll be next week's year. So if your husband, let's say, goes to shul for the early mincha, do you have to be Mekabel Shabbos at that time, or do you have to be Mekabel Shabbos only once he walks in the door? So that's a little bit of that discussion. Again, we're not going to get into that this week, but that's, I guess, again, for coming attractions, that's going to be in the future. Before we jump in, I did want to share a little bit B'inyan Lag Ba'Omer. I spoke to Emma about doing something specifically for Lag Ba'Omer, but there's Baruch Hashem a lot going on in the community. Wednesday night, Thursday night, things like that, concerts and the like. So I don't think we're having a shiur Thursday. So in light of that, I wanted to share maybe for a couple minutes first some Torah on Lag Ba'Omer and Sfira B'chlal, and then we'll jump back into the Hilchos Shabbos. So one idea that I like to speak about every single year, because I saw this idea several years ago and it blew my mind. When we talk about the flaw or the problem, so to speak, with the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, if you're up in the daf, so last Shabbos was Mesechus Yevamos, daf Samach Beis Amabeis. And that Gemara tells us that Talmidei Rabbi Akiva died, shelo nahagu kavod ze bezeh. They weren't mechave, they didn't honor one another. And the question that everybody in their Babi asks is how could it be? Right? First of all, what does it mean that they weren't mechaved one another? Aleph. And Beis, just because they weren't mechaved another person, their chavrus, another guy in the Beis Medrash, is that really deserving of being killed? How could it be? Did they really have that terrible of being adam mechaver? And that's, I guess, the fundamental question. If you're going to get fancy, you'd add a second question if you're thinking about building a shiur for Shavuos. And you'd think, well, when it comes to Shavuos, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. And again, I don't know if everybody gets excited about grammar questions. I know my mom's on the Zoom call, Baruch Hashem. So my mom likes grammar. She likes Hebrew. It never really did for me growing up when I heard a grammar question at the Shabbos table on the Parsha. But if you think about it, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, so it was spoken to the entire Klal Yisrael, and yet Hashem starts, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am your God. So why does he address everyone as one, and how are you supposed to understand that? Okay, you can say that Yichan Shem Yisrael Neged Adhar, and we were all one standing, and maybe he was just speaking to us like that, but is there any deeper significance? How do we understand that? So without getting further afield than that, Rav Asher Weiss Shlita explains the following. He says that in response to the question, was it really fair? Did they deserve that kind of death just because they weren't nice to one another? And he says, well, yeah, they were the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. So they were held to a higher standard specifically because they were his Talmidim. Rabbi Akiva was one who taught us in Maseches Avos, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Every single person is dear, is precious, because they're created in the image of God. Right? The famous Medrash that we all know, Rashi quotes, V'haftarecha kamocha zeklau gadol b'torah, that's Rabbi Akiva. So since they weren't mechabed one another, yeah, they were going to be killed because they were held to a higher standard. The Shemi Shmuel has a little bit of a different approach, and I think it's a very novel idea. He says, kavod, again, shelo nahagu kavod zebzeh. What is kavod? So he says, kavod is a result of recognizing one's milos, right? You see a person is greater than you in a particular area or field, and therefore, you're mechabed that person, you respect them, you honor that individual. But the Shemi Shmuel says, if you think about our guf, our body, right? So the arm would never be mechabed the leg, and the ear wouldn't be mechabed the lips or anything like that, because they don't see themselves as disparate parts. They're not individuals, so to speak. They're part of one unit, one entity, and one guf. And the downfall of the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, and this is the wild idea, the Shemi Shmuel, is that they lost their individuality and they lost their identity. Right? It's an amazing idea. It was almost too much achdus to the extent that they lost out on who every single individual was. Right? I don't know if anybody knows back in the day. I remember growing up, there was a clothing brand called And One. I don't know if anybody is familiar with this. I'll skip this muscle, so it doesn't really matter. But that's what the Shem Yishmael says. It's a wild idea that they lost out. They lost their individuality. They had no idea. And this is really the essence of the Torah of Rabbi Akiva. It was to recognize people as individuals. If you think about the celebration of Lag BaOmer, so Rabbi Akiva picked up 5 Talmidim, right? 5 new Talmidim, and he began to perpetuate and continued passing on the Torah and the Mesorah. But if you think about what his Talmidim taught, so Rosh Weiss points out, the Gemaras are the following. Kol ha-mevarech es chaveiro, ki'ilu mevarech es ha-shechina. Anybody who blesses his friend, it's as if he gave a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They say, Havei shafel ruach b'fnei kol adam, be exceedingly humble in front of everybody. Kol ha-mekabel p'nei chaveiro, ki'ilu mekabel p'nei ha-shechina. Anybody who greets a friend, it's as if they greeted the Shechina. And then another one, afilu lohayir enov, El Mishnah Echad Hu Rabo, if another friend teaches you even one halacha, so that person is, you can call that person your Rebbe. And it's better to jump into a Kivshan Eish than to embarrass another person. That's all Torah that Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim, his 5 Talmidim, taught. Meaning the 12,000 pairs of students who were killed didn't internalize the fundamental messages, or message, I should say, of the Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. And that's something we celebrate on Yom Kippur, Dafka, the sense of individuality, within the larger context of the Tzibur, the larger context of Klal Yisrael. And again, that's what we're highlighting when it comes to Matan Torah. There is this notion of Klal Yisrael. Hashem spoke, Anokh Shem Lokech, I am your God, right? As much as we are Klal Yisrael, Hashem speaking to us as an individual. So there's one unit, but there's also every single one of us, every single Jew, Hashem was talking to each and every one of us also, not just as the collective Klal Yisrael, but the individual person as well. So that's a little bit with regards to Lag BaOmer, Talmid Rabbi Akiva. I'll share one last idea on Lag BaOmer, because I don't think it's been 10 minutes yet, so I can do this. I hope that's okay with everybody. But of course, many of us know that the 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer correspond to the 48 ways in which the Torah is acquired, right? The Mishnah in the 6th parak of Pirkei Avos talks about the Memches Kinyanei HaTorah, right? So there are 49 days that correspond to the 48 Kinyanei HaTorah. So everyone points out, it's one off, what do you do? So it's not like a gematria thing, you do plus one. Some people say you have to do chazara. Some people say you have to daven, right? There are many different ways to understand that 49th one. But nonetheless, there is an idea to be studying Pirkei Avos through the time period of Sfiras HaOmer between Pesach and Shavuos, and also to be working on ourselves as individuals, growing and, improving our midos as we get ready to be mekabel the Torah. And also, in addition to the midos, to go through the different ways in which we can acquire the Torah. So if you actually look at the count, according to many Mishnayos, so what is the kinyan, what is the way which we acquire Torah that falls out on Lag BaOmer, right? So one rem, as we call this, is a nice little idea, but that the kinyan that falls out on Lag BaOmer, the 33rd kinyan with which we can acquire the Torah, is to be ohev es ha-tochecha, to love, how would people translate tochecha, rebuke, musar, I'm not really sure how people translate it. It doesn't have the best rap, I would say, but anyway, to love tocha, maybe one way to connect that, and this isn't in line with the Shem Yishmuel, but it was dafka on this day that the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, because the cause of their death was that, again, they didn't have a certain sense of ava and yedidos and humility, right? They weren't willing to listen to the ideas of their friends in the Beis Medrash, and Lag BaOmer is the day to perfect this midah. I would just add, because I heard a beautiful idea, Rabbi Kraft from the Kollel pointed out something, called me the other week on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Kedoshim, to tell me the following idea, and I think it's really great to now segue into tonight's shir, because I don't know about many of you, I told my father-in-law this a couple times, that there are different, you know, projects that I have over the summers. One project that I always want to do, and it's still a project of mine, I haven't done it yet, is to understand Zmanim. I really don't understand Zmanim. If I was rewriting the YU Smicha curriculum, I'm not sure that I would ever be the person to do that. And I'm not sure if I would change it. But one thing I might add is we should understand Zmanim a little bit better. I find students and people, you know, they thought, oh, you're a rabbi, you should know, like, how does it, I have no clue how all this Zmanim work. So I'm a little bit, hesitant, scared reluctant about tonight's shiur, but God willing, b'siyat d'shmaya, and b'schus of everyone here, it'll be a little bit clear. But now to understand this idea of to be oiv es atochecha, because the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim says, osisna es achicha bilvavecha, do not hate your friend in your heart, hocheach tochiach es amisecha, right? So don't hate your friend in your heart, and you should give musr, hocheach tochiach es amisecha, right? And give musr, velosisa alav chet. So many people try to figure out what's the connection between this pasuk. So Rabbi Kraft actually, he showed me a beautiful Ibn Ezra. Because hocheach tochiach can come from the word tochecha, which means to give rebuke, but it could also mean hochacha, which means to like clarify. Meaning, don't hate your friend in your heart. Rather, hocheach tochiach es amisecha, talk it out with that person. He has a lashon here, shema techashdehu bedavar v'lo hayakin. Maybe the person hates you, right? Because they're upset, they thought you did X, Y, and Z. So the Torah is telling you, don't hate another Jew. Rather, go over to that person and clarify. Hey, that offended me. I want to understand what you did or why you did that thing and have a better idea of that, right? I think that's a very cool idea to be oiv es atochecha. Maybe now we can understand that as to say, you should love to clarify things. If there are matters in Torah, in halacha, in life, in hashkafa, that are maybe not so clear, so it's incumbent upon us to try to clarify it. We've heard ideas before. Oh yeah, I'll tell you, when I do Daf Yomi, and you get to a Gemara about, I don't know, Tumah and Tahara, I always tell myself, the next time the Daf gets to it, I'll understand it. Or when I learn those Mishnayos B'i, and I'll understand it. Let me just kind of, it's a terrible phrase, but I'll daven through it. You know, I'll just read the words, and I'll be Yotzei Zayin. Right? To oiv es atochecha means to love, to spend time, to stop, to not rush, and to appreciate what the words really mean, and love that clarity. So with that, let's start tonight's shiur. Or let's get into the Hilchos Shabbos component, I should say, of tonight's shiur. Okay, fine. So the question is, when is it officially nighttime? Not realistically, but we'll call it halachically. We're wearing our halachic glasses tonight. So when is nighttime? And when does Shabbos begin? So there's two important Gemaras for us to be aware of. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Lamed Dalet Amud Bey, so 34b, discusses a time period called Bein HaShemashos. So if you were translating that, I assume people would probably call it twilight or dusk or something of that nature, right? The sun's going down. A beautiful sunset. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos says that Bein HaShemashos is a suffix whether it is daytime or nighttime, and it's unclear whether it's entirely day or it's entirely night. Tanu Rabbanan, I'll just read the Gemara relatively quickly. Bein HaShemashos, suffix min hayom u min halayla. We're not sure if it's from the daytime or the nighttime. Safik kulo min hayom. We're not sure if it's completely daytime, which would basically mean if it's Bein HaShemashos, you can still be cooking and doing whatever you want to do. It's not a problem. Safik kulo min halayla. Or we should be concerned that the moment Bein HaShemashos hits, you have to, refrain from all malacha activity and you have to stop. We're not sure what Bein HaShemashos is. That is the Gemara in Shabbos. Then, before the Gemara in Pesachim. So because it's a suffik, we're going to go suffik l'chumra here. We're going to be machmir. Again, because you don't want to mess with any malacha on Shabbos. And the moment Bein HaShemashos hits, we refrain from any malacha. Okay, everybody with me on that so far? We're going to treat it l'chumra. And assume, right now, Bein HaShemashos starts at shkia. So the moment sunset hits, we refrain from malacha. However, the Gemara in Pesachim, I left out one other important detail. Again, we're trying to make sure everything is very clear. A lot of moving pieces tonight. But the Gemara in Shabbos also discusses the length of Bein HaShemashos. What is the length of Bein HaShemashos? How long is this unclear Safek Yom, Safek Laila time period? How long is it? So the Gemara quotes Shmuel, who says it's 3 Chelke Mil. Okay? So a meal, not M-E-A-L, but a meal, Mem Yud Lamed. We're going to define what that is. But he says 3 parts of a meal. We're going to discuss that in a moment. It'll be more clear in just a bit. The Gemara in Pesachim, and Sadi Dalid, Amir Aleph, 94a, tells us the following. He says, from Shkias Hachama, from sunset, until Tseis HaKochavim, from nightfall, like real dark outside nightfall, is 4 meal. So it's a machlokas. What exactly is a meal? Mem Yod Lamed. How long is a meal? Some people say 24, some people say 22. seems to be the accepted opinion about a meal is going to be 18 minutes. So, if you assume, based on reading the Gemara in Pesachim, that it's a meal, right? A meal is 18 minutes. And if from Shkia to Tseis, from sunset to nightfall, which is the Safik limbo time, is 4 meals, so 4 times 18, that's going to be 72. That's going to be 72 minutes. If you assume, like the Gemara in Shabbos, that it's 3 parts of a meal, which we assume is going to be 3 quarters of a meal, so 3 quarters of 18 minutes, like we said, 18 minutes is a meal, so 3 quarters of that is going to be 13 and a half minutes. So right now, I'm going to have a chart, it's going to be, hopefully it's going to be clear, but right now, either Bein HaShemashos is 13 and a half minutes, or it might last 72 minutes. So what exactly is going on? It's kind of hard to reconcile these two Gemaras. So this is a machlokas between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra. If you've ever looked at a Zman chart, or if you have Mishpacha who are more machmir with regards to when Shabbos ends, they wait Rabbeinu Tam, they wait 72 minutes. Anybody ever hear that expression before? So this is where it comes from. These are one of the things that I never really understood until I began learning this a little bit. I still don't have the best idea, but I think I'm a little bit clear now. So Rabbeinu Tam is quoted here in the Gemara, the Tosos and Pesachim. Tosos Pesachim quotes Rabbeinu Tam. And he highlights that there's this problem, there's this contradiction between the two Gemaras. Is it 13 and a half minutes, or is it 72 minutes? So Rabbeinu Tam says there are two different discussions going on in the Gemaras. You have to look at the terminology. One says, how long is Bein HaShemashos? That's the Gemara in Shabbos. Whereas the Gemara in Pesachim is simply saying, how long is it from Shkia until Tseis? How long is it from sunset until nightfall? So they're talking about two different time periods. Right? So the Gemara in Pesachim is saying, from the moment the sun sets until it's halachically considered nighttime is going to be 72 minutes. The Gemara in Shabbos is asking, and let's be clear here, of the 72-minute period, how long are we unsure? Is it daytime or is it nighttime? Okay, again, one more time, we'll say it to be clear. The Gemara in Pesachim is saying the process for night to be in full effect, for it to be nightfall, dark outside, see the stars, everything like that, that takes 72 minutes. Okay, and at the end of 72 minutes, you can be sure that it is night. The question is, Bein HaShemashos, we're not sure, is it daytime or is it nighttime? So that's what the Gemara in Shabbos is discussing. And that is only 13 and a half minutes of that 72-minute period. So again, to be clear, 58 and a half minutes of the 72 minutes is not a problem at all. We're only unclear about the last 13 and a half minutes. That's the question according to Rabbeinu Tam, right? Rabbeinu Tam says nightfall happens much later. Right, that's why, if you think about the people who end Shabbos and they hold Rabbeinu Tam, they end Shabbos much later. But if you take Rabbeinu Tam as he is, so then every chumrah has a kula, right? It's an important principle to understand. Every time you're going to be stringent, you're going to end up being lenient on the other end. And how does that apply in Erev Shabbos? So if you end Shabbos super duper late, you also, in theory, would be starting Shabbos very, very late. Certain chassidim, satmar chassidim, who hold Rabbeinu Tam, so they would be driving a car, they would be doing whatever they would be doing, any malacha that we would, there's no chance we would do something like that. So they're doing that because they hold Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbeinu Tam is Rabbeinu Tam, and they hold it to the nth degree. Every chumrah has a kula, and every kula has the flip side, chumrah. Okay, everybody with me so far? Fine. We're going to talk more about, we're going to get all the rules about the notions of the 18 minutes and all these, we'll talk about that soon. That's Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam again, 58 and a half minutes, 3 1/4, right? Every meal is 18 minutes. 18 minutes times 3 and then another quarter. So that gets you to 58 and a half. 58 and a half minutes after Shkia is going to be totally fine. It's daytime according to Rabbeinu Tam. And it's only a question with regards to the last 13 and a half minutes. The Gra completely disagrees. The Gra says, no way. He says, just open your eyes. I was trying to find it in the Ber HaGra. He has like a very sharp lashon of just, I mean, he doesn't say open your eyes, but he basically says open your eyes, right? It doesn't take 72 minutes for it to get dark outside. When the Gemara says that Bein HaShemashos is 3 quarters of a mil, which we're saying is 13 and a half minutes, and after that, it's definitely nighttime, right? In other words, according to the Gra, the question is Safik Yom Safik Laila, the question of whether or not it's daytime or nighttime, so that's the beginning, the 13 and a half minutes right after Shkia. But after that, it's nighttime. And then the discussion that the Gemara Pesachim is having about these 72 minutes, so do you need to have 72 minutes to see three stars or to see all the stars? The way the Gra understands that Gemara is going to be saying for it to be full-fledged nighttime, to see all the stars in the world, 72 minutes. But to see only three stars, to consider it halachic night, all you need to do is wait 13 and a half minutes. Is everybody with me so far? That's this machlokas between the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam. I'm going to put up a chart actually now, and I think it'll be a lot clearer. Let me share my screen. Boom. Here we go. Is everybody with me? I hope everyone's with me here. So this, again, let me just move it. Everyone's, boom. Right? So just like that, you have the Gra on top over here. Again, sunset is over here. Sunset is over here. That's Shkia. According to the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, the question, or the time period that's in question is Bein HaShemashos. So that's always Safek Yom Safek Laila. According to him, that Safek is at the beginning. After that 13 and a half minute time period, so right after that, that's nightfall. For all halachic intents and purposes, no questions. According to Rabbeinu Tam, he says, no, it's a little bit different. Sunset over here on the bottom, I hope everybody's following along in the picture that we're sharing. You have 3 1/4 mil, which takes us up to 58 and a half minutes into this time period here, right, between Shkia and Seis. That is going to be considered, according to Rabbeinu Tam, day, do whatever you want. Cut your hair, cut your nails, cook some food, cut the grass, whatever you want to do, not a problem, not considered malacha. After 58 and a half minutes, boom, over here, the last 13 and a half minutes, that's what Bein HaShemashos is, and only after that do we hit Seis and is it full-fledged night. Okay, I hope the chart was a little bit helpful. Any questions up until here? I don't know if I have any answers, but we can ask questions. No, we're good? Okay, fine. So let's confuse ourselves a little bit more. Let's confuse ourselves a little bit more. Rav Moshe Feinstein basically says the following. He has the following chiddush in his Sefer Igros Moshe, where he says, up until now, we've basically assumed that from sunset until dark, so 72 minutes, right? That's this time period. Rabbeinu Tam holds 72 minutes comprised of 4 mil. And the only question is, where do we place Bein HaShemashos? According to the Gra, it's the beginning of that time period. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's at the end of that time period. Rav Moshe says, okay. If you look outside 50 minutes after sunset, though, right? I was going to do the shiur with my windows open because, you know, we started shiur, the sun just went down, it was just shkia, whatever. I thought that would have been cute, but then I don't think anybody would be able to see me because of the glare. But okay, it was a nice idea. Anyway, Rav Moshe says, if you look outside... Oh, let me tell you something very cool also. I heard earlier today from Rabbi Taubes, one of my Rebbeim in Tinek. He said something very cool. The Samer Chasidim, right, when they came over from Europe, so they hold the Rabbeinu Tam. They hold the Rabbeinu Tam on both ends of Shabbos. Start Shabbos late, end Shabbos late. But the problem was there are many Americans who were Shomer Shabbos, and they're starting Shabbos, you know, way earlier. They're not holding Rabbeinu Tam. And then it looks off. It's confusing to a lot of people. If you have certain Jews making Rabbeinu Tam Shabbos when many other people have already been Mekabel Shabbos. So Rav Aaron Cutler, the former Rosh Yeshiva in Lakewood, went to the Samer Rebbe. And he pleaded with the Rebbe to have everybody be Mekabel Shabbos earlier. Don't hold Rabbeinu Tam at the early end of Shabbos. And the way I heard the story is pretty wild. Rav Aaron Cutler made a deal with the Samer Rebbe. He said, if you tell your Chasidim to start Shabbos earlier, right, what we would say by the Gra, make Shabbos early, then I'll tell the guys in the Lakewood Yeshiva, I'll tell the Bnei Yeshiva to end Shabbos Rabbeinu Tam. And that's why you have a lot of people, right, making Shabbos the what we would call, quote, the normal time when we make Shabbos, and then they keep Rabbeinu Tam at the end of Shabbos. I just heard that's because the Rav Aaron Cutler wanted there to be a certain uniformity with regards to Kabbalah Shabbos, the beginning of Shabbos. So that was very interesting. I guess we'll call that like U.S. Jewish history. Okay, fine. Anyway, Getting back to Rav Moshe Feinstein here. So Rav Moshe says that if you look outside 50 minutes after sunset, it's completely dark. It's night. It's tzeis. It's night. 100%. So he says in America, even if you want to be machmir, like Rabbeinu Tam, and machmir, you're only machmir at the end of Shabbos, right? Even if you want to be machmir, like Rabbeinu Tam, the Bein HaShemashos is really towards the end of the 72-minute period. It's already dark 50 minutes after sunset. So therefore, Rav Moshe changes the calculation, right? Before it was 18, 18, 18, and 18, which got us to 72. The math was a little bit easier. Rav Moshe says it's different. You have to redo the math. And instead of 72 minutes consisting of or being made of 4 mil, so he changes it up and he says, no, it's 50 minutes. Meaning the time period between Shkia to Tzeis is no longer 72 minutes. But Rav Moshe says it's 50 minutes. That's 4 mil. So that would mean, anybody good at math here? If you say that Shkia to Tzeis is 50 minutes, how long is a mil? So 50 divided by 4 is going to be 12 and a half. So there you go. So one meal is 12 and a half minutes. And Bein HaShemashos, now this is where it gets tricky now. Bein HaShemashos is going to be what? 3/4 of a meal. So that's going to be about 9 minutes or so, right? If a meal is 12 and a half minutes, so 3/4 of a meal is just over 9 minutes. Everybody with me on that? So now let's re-understand Zmanim according to Rav Moshe in America. So we'll share the screen here. Everybody with me on this or no? You got a hands up, thumbs up if you can see it. Anytime I share a screen, everyone goes small. Okay, good. So, right, we see how everything has changed up now. Sunset over here, it's still going to be the same yesod in terms of 3/4 of a meal at the beginning according to the Gra, 3/4 of a meal according to Rabbeinu Tam at the end of this time period. But in terms of the duration of the entire time, it's going to be shorter, right? It's a shorter period of time, and therefore Bein HaShemashos is no longer 18 minutes, but rather it's going to be 9 and change. So that's Shitas Rav Moshe. Now, where does this get exciting? So that's all, again, the background, understanding the Gra Rabbeinu Tam, with the, I would say, the more contemporary understanding of Rav Moshe for those in America. But fundamentally, you can say, now we understand this machlokas between the Gra and Rabbeinu Tam of when Bein HaShemashos is. The question is, who cares? And when is this going to be important? So I'm going to give 3 examples, and then we're going to get a little bit more lebedik in the last 10 minutes this year or so. The big question where this comes up, Rav Moshe has two different cases. One is in Hilchos Nida, and the other is in with regards to a Bris Milah. What happens if a woman is about to begin her Shiva Nekiyim, counting her 7 clean days? So she needs to perform a Hefsek Tara before Shkia of the first of 7 days. But let's say a woman is very, very busy, whatever it was before Shabbat, she got too busy, she didn't have a chance, or she forgot to do her Hefsek Tara, and she only did it after Shkia. It's after Shkia. Can she rely on that Hefsek Tara to start her Shiva Nekiyim? It was after Shkia. Right? So according to who? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not a problem at all. You did it right after Shkia, who cares? Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not the next day until when? It's not even a suffix, next day or not, until the very end. Right? Well into this time period between Shkia and Tzeis. So you're totally fine according to Rabbeinu Tam. The only question is according to the Gra. And according to the Gra, it's a suffix. We're not sure if it's what? If it's daytime or nighttime. So Rav Moshe says, if she did her Hefsek Tara in the first 9 minutes after Shkia, right, when we're not sure if it's daytime or nighttime, according to the Gra, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's for sure still daytime. So he basically, Rav Moshe wanted a paskin. You can say it's a sveik sveika, right? You're not sure if we hold like Rabbeinu Tam, right? If you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, it's totally fine. And even if you want to hold like the Gra, it still might be considered daytime because Bein HaShemashos be'etzim in and of itself is going to be a suffix. So Ramosha, Paskin's Lakula, in that case, if a woman did her Hefsek Tahara right after Shkia, you can rely on that and count that for your Hefsek Tahara. However, and this is where it gets a little bit exciting, let's say a baby is born in the first 9 minutes after Shkia. Right, so now what happens? It's Friday night, the baby's born 9 minutes after Shkia. that has serious implications for when the bris milah is going to be. And then if it's supposed to be Shabbos bris, right? Are you docha Shabbos or not? So Moshe says if a baby boy is born in the first 9 minutes of Shkia, he says then we would paskin l'chumra, we'd be machmir, and we would not allow the bris on Shabbos. Whoa. There are those who disagree with Ramosha, and they say, you can't have this fake at all, because we completely reject Rabbeinu Tam. Meaning Rav Shechter, Shlita, Rav Willig, Rav Shechter is going to be in Chicago next week, I want to give a big, just announce that, this Shabbos, in West Rogers Park. If you don't live in West Rogers Park, you should walk to Rogers Park, you should stand in West Rogers Park, you come here Rav Shechter, because he's the best. Anyway, so they say we reject, not reject, but we accept the Gra. The Gra is seems to be accepted according to most, and because of that, you can't use that Rabbeinu Tam, like Rav Moshe did, as a sniff lahakel. That's Rav Shechter hold. Again, Poskim in Chicago are in favor of the Kula of Rav Moshe. Rabbi First Shlita is a Talmud Muvhak of Rav Moshe, and that's why a lot of the Piskei Halacha that he teaches and that he paskins really follows his Rebbe Rav Moshe. There is a discussion. Let's say a person is driving home late on Erev Shabbos. I had a student, he called me once. It's like cute when your students think like you know a lot of stuff and then they call you because there's like a crazy emergency and I'm like, I have no clue what to do. But I had a student who called me. I think his plane was landing late and he would have gotten hopefully into an Uber before Shabbos started and he wanted to know like, what should he do? When should he get out? And he was only calling me like, and I didn't have like time to, it was just like a crazy thing. I don't even remember what we ended up doing, but I remember the question more than the answer because it really, it was pretty wild. But the Sefer Nishma Shabbos discusses driving home late on Erev Shabbos. And let's say the GPS tells you that you're going to get there 5 minutes after Shkia. Right? It's the same kind of idea here. Can you bank on this Kula of Rav Moshe, right? The Sfeik of Rav Moshe, and say it's probably okay. So he holds that we wouldn't accept this Kula. The Nishma Shabbos says we paskin like Rav Moshe does by the case of the Bris. Meaning we're not going to use this kula of a sfeik sfeika to say it's still daytime if it's going to lead to chilul Shabbos. Right? Everybody with me on that? The hefsek tara is different because there's no chilul Shabbos, it's just a din in counting days. But a bris milah, driving a car, that's actual chilul Shabbos, and therefore, he passes, don't continue to drive your car after shkia. That's a little bit. Again, if you didn't fully understand that, I'm in the same boat as you. But those are a couple ideas with regards to practical applications of the case of Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra. What I want to do the next couple minutes, I hope everyone's still with me here, is the following. There's an idea that many of us are familiar with to be Mekabel Shabbos early, the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, and the Gemara discusses this in Meseches Yuma, Meseches Beitza. It seems to be Echiv Doraisa, that's how the Mishnah Berurah paskins, Echiv Doraisa to be Mekabel Shabbos early. How early is a question? It seems to be, you know, I think Rav Moshe paskins at 2 minutes. Even if your Mekabel Shabbos is just 2 minutes early, that's sufficient. Others say even a moment early. Whatever it is okay. How one goes about being Mekabel Shabbos is also an interesting question, not for now. Do you actually have to do something active, right? Do you have to, make Kiddush or say a tefillah, be Mekabel Shabbos, sing Lechadodi? Or is it just simply by stopping from any sort of malacha, you're automatically, you know, Mekabel Shabbos? Again, that's a Machlokas Rishonim in a Gemara Rashana, not for now. The big question is, and this is where it gets really labedic, is what's the essence of Tosefes Shabbos, right? If you're Mekabel Shabbos 20 minutes early, is it now halachically Shabbos, but still Friday, right? Is everybody with me on that? Meaning early Shabbos. I don't think I'm being clear here. If you're Mekabel Shabbos early on a Friday, so it is Friday. If you look at the calendar, it's still Friday. So is it Friday just with some extra dinim of Shabbos, you can't do malacha? Or is it considered the next day? So where does this come up? Last Friday night I was in shul. But I'm just reading by Tosefes. Do you mean before sunset or before candlelighting time? Let's say before sunset. But it could be before licht. I'm not really sure. I don't know. But let's say you're Mekabel Shabbos. A kid came over to me, not a kid, a person, an individual came over to me, shul. We dive in the 7 o'clock Shabbos at Kins North. And Rabbi Liebtag announced at the end of davening before Yigdal, said everybody remember to count Sfira after whatever, 7:54. It was 7:45, right? So it wasn't yet the next day. And someone comes over to me and says, I forgot to count Sefira with a bracha last night. Can I count Sefira right now without a bracha? And then in 10 minutes, I can count with a bracha. Or am I out? Because I was Mekabel Shabbos already. So I said, I'm not the rabbi here. Go ask the Rav. Don't ask me, man. Anyway, so that's a fascinating question. That's a fascinating question. And that question comes up in a bunch of different places. I'll give you a list of examples where this comes up. So first of all, it comes up again in a case of a Hefsek Tara. Right? So you're Mekabel Shabbos early, you didn't do a Hefsek Tara yet. What happens there? It comes up, like we said, Sfiras HaOmer. It comes up on Pesach. This is like a relatively well-known one. If you make early Yontif, we don't do that. But let's say a person made early Yontif and then started the Seder. Does a Kiddush, does the first Kos count as the Dalet Kosos? Because it's not yet Tesvav of Nisan. That's a question where it comes up also. Or do you say, no, you made Yontif early, so Yontif starts and you can do it. What about making Shavuos early? So why don't we make Shavuos early? So the Taz, if I'm not mistaken, the Taz holds that once you're Mekabel Shabbos, or in this case Shavuos, it's Mamish the next day already. And if that's the case, right, when we say with the Pesukim by Sefira, Sheva Shabbosos Temimos Tihiena. Well, if you're Mekabel Shavuos early, you just lost out on the Temimos of these 7 weeks, because you didn't complete the 7 weeks. Again, it comes up there as well. The case of Mila, let's say, the baby boy is born Friday night, and you made early Shabbos, so when do you do the Bris Mila? A wild case that the Taz quotes, let's say it's a Friday Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, and for whatever reason, your community couldn't find a shofar. And you wanna make Shabbos early. So you make Shabbos early on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, and then 20 minutes before Zman, of let's call it actual Shabbos, what happens? Someone shows up in your community with a shofar. Can you blow a shofar? Again, this is all theoretical, right? Whether or not Rosh Hashanah can actually fall out on a Friday, but the point is, the Taz quotes this as a case. In theory, what would you do? Same thing by tefillin. If a boy, let's say, didn't put on tefillin the whole entire day, because he's up all Thursday night Mishmar learning, right? And so it's Erev Shabbos, and you decide to make early Shabbos, and you realize, oh my gosh, I forgot to put on tefillin this morning. But you were Mekabel Shabbos. But it's not night yet. So what do you, in all those cases, is machlokes, again, they're what's the word? They're consistent in their opinion. So machlokes being the Taz and the Maharshal. The Taz assumes once you were Mekabel the next day, once you're Mekabel Shabbos, for all intents and purposes, halachically speaking, it's Shabbos. So, according to the Taz, this boy would not be able to count Sefira with a bracha anymore because it's already the next day. So he missed that entire day. The Marshal says, no, you look at not the halachic day, so to speak, but the calendaric day. Meaning, is it Friday? Is it Shabbos? Is it, you look at the day. Okay, your Mekabel Shabbos early, that's very nice, but it's not the next day yet. And because of that, he holds in a lot of these cases that then it would be more permissible. So that's, again, a machlokas that pervades all of these areas in halacha. Again, there are lots of nuances. You have to go through each one. But again, that's just background. I thought it was a fun halacha l'maisa case that this guy asked me in shul the other night. Would he be able to count with a bracha? And if I'm not mistaken, I saw him by Shal Shudas. I said, what did Rabbi Litek say? He said, we pass in the Kula by Sefira HaOmer, that he was able to count Sefira without a bracha, even though it was Shabbos already for him. He waited 10 minutes, and then he counted with a bracha, so he's still in it with a bracha. That's basically all for tonight. There's a lot more to discuss. Hopefully, again, it was the tip of the iceberg, some food for thought. Next week, Mir Tzashem, we will be discussing the halachos. If one person in your family is Mekabel Shabbos early, how do we go about, you know, different people leaving the shul at different times? When are we all to be Mekabel Shabbos? That'll be next week, Mir Tzashem. Okay, hope everyone has a fantastic evening. Good luck, Bomer. Kol tov.
Thank you very much.
Everyone have a good one.
Much appreciation.
Have a good one, guys.